Glad that you're here with us, and can you believe that it is December of 2017, the first Sunday, and as we lit the Advent candle, we have great expectation and anticipation for all the great things God's going to continue to do in us to conclude 2017, and we have expectation for the new things he's going to do leading us into 2018. And so today we begin our preparation, we begin our celebration of the coming of Christ, which is the most amazing and significant event in human history. Just our service, you know, the Holy Spirit really knows how to orchestrate a service with Teen Challenge being here this morning, and then taking communion together as a church family, and then being able to just honor and celebrate Sabrina's great service as her time as our campus pastor. Just the combination of all those three things is a reminder that Jesus Christ changes lives. He touches people. He changes lives. He makes them better people for his glory and for his honor. And so this morning I'm going to be doing part two of my thoughts on unusual kindness. And there has been no greater act in human history than Jesus coming to die for us to save us from our sins. It was the most unusual kind act that we've ever experienced in all of human history. And so if you would, read with me in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at the story of the birth of Jesus, starting in verse 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. My favorite part of the Christmas story is the angel telling the father, Joseph, what this child in Mary is to be called, who would be the Lord and Savior of the world. Well, I have three sons, and we took naming each one of them very serious and important, because we know that your name helps describe what your identity is, and knowing your identity, as I'll talk about a little bit, I think, is so important in fulfilling your purpose. But man, in that exercise of naming our children, I wish the Lord would have sent an angel to me to let me know what our sons were to be called. Now, Cindy and I believe we got it right in Josiah, Ethan, and Noah, but it's significant, and it's the most significant name that's ever been given. It's the name that's above all names, Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who can save us from our sins. Don't want you to lose that. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they are to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's also part, my favorite part two of the Christmas story, the fact that God is with us. He is Emmanuel. What makes Jesus different than every other religious god or figure is that he is both he is both transcendent, but he is also imminent. He is here with us. He's greater than we could ever imagine. He lives in what the scriptures say are unapproachable light, but through the sending of his son Jesus and his sacrifice, now in that unapproachable light, we can boldly approach his throne of grace and mercy. That is an amazing thought. Only in Jesus can you do that. No other religious figure. You can't approach Allah that way. You can't be intimate with him in that kind of way. Only Jesus Christ and the humility and the humanity as God that he displayed was something that for a lot of the religious figures, it tripped them up, because God wasn't supposed to be this humble. and this serving and this approachable. But you could touch Jesus. That's what John wrote in 1 John. He said, this Jesus, these hands that have touched him, these eyes that have seen him, these ears that have heard him, this we proclaim to you, that he is the Lord, the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is the one who will take away your sins. He is the one who is with us. He is Emmanuel. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And they gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, that he is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. And we thank you that he is the only one who can save us from our sins. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that as we kick off the Advent season, as we prepare our hearts, and as we celebrate the coming of Christ, I pray that it would do in us, Holy Spirit, what it was destined to do from, Lord, from the original first Christmas night, to make us sons and daughters of the living God, to make us saints who serve you in your calling and your mission. And Lord, I pray that we would do that well to bring you glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Unusual kindness. The greatest act of unusual kindness ever displayed to us is Jesus Christ coming from heaven to earth to die on a cross, to be buried, to be risen again on the third day to save us from our sins. I love in the book of Titus how it's summed up in Titus 3, 4 through 5. It says this, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. Yeah. And there's something very powerful that God is displaying to us this morning and reminding us in the testimonies of Quan and Drew, in the example that Sabrina set for all of us in the last 10 years, is that God wants to come into us to reveal himself through us. God wants to come into us to reveal himself through us. And unusual kindness, when we are recipients of that, only when we receive it can then we display that to others. And unusual kindness, as I've been talking about, is one of the greatest ways to practically demonstrate the love of Christ to others. I love how Paul says that in Romans 5, 7 through 8. He says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Folks, that's unusual kindness right there. And it's important that as we conclude the year and have dreams and thoughts and hopes about starting a new year, that we remember how loving and good and kind God is. Because if anything's happened to you over the course of this year's or years previous to cause you to doubt that, you'll miss all the great things that God wants to do in you and God wants to do through you. It's so important that we know that. You know, it was such a wonderful experience to be what the scriptures talk about in John 3, becoming born again, becoming a child of God. It was an amazing experience, one that I'm forever thankful for. And one of the neat things about becoming a child of God is before, when I would peek at the Bible or read it a little bit, I could never really fully get excited about it or understand it because the Holy Spirit was not illuminating me to the truth that was in it. And I've realized that another reason is because when I would pick up the book and read it back then, I was reading it as a sinner. And so a lot of what I was reading in regards to me was what? Bad news. So you got to understand the bad news before you can appreciate the good news. And the bad news is that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have. That's what's wrong with the world. You know what the problem with the world is? It isn't who you did vote or didn't vote for the president. It isn't all the evil people out there in the world. Guess what the problem is? The problem is me, Ron Miller Jr. I'm the problem with the world. My sin, my issues. That's the greatest revelation you could ever get right there. That is the path to freedom. That is the path to repentance. And the road that leads to life is when you realize nobody else is the problem. It's me and my issues and my sin. And I got to find the only one who can deal with it. That's when life really begins to change. And when I found the one who could deal with me and my sin, it was Jesus. And that night, I went home and I opened up the Bible and I began to read it. And revelation began to hit me for the first time. And I was no longer reading his book as a sinner. I was reading it as a son. His son. The Father was now speaking to me. And all my life in seeking and searching for identity and purpose, I was now finding the reason for which I was created. It was to love God and to serve him. It wasn't just to be an athlete. It wasn't just to try to work hard and make money and get by in life. It wasn't just to try to date the best-looking woman. God had a purpose for my life. I was his son. And it was wonderful to realize that now I was no longer a sinner, but now he relates to me and speaks to me as his child. And in that, I am now joined with the saints. And I begin to no longer see it as a sinner, but see it as a saint. And I'm like, God's got this son and this saint a purpose. I'm joining with the saints to be a part of his mission here on earth. It was a wonderful, it was a glorious night. And after all these years, many, many, many years later, 27 plus years later, the Christmas story is a reminder to me that Jesus Christ saves people from their sins. He is the God who is with us. Nothing has changed over time in the sense that what's wrong with the world? It's our sin. We are the problem. And the only cure for it is Jesus Christ. He's the hope. He's the hope before. He was the hope of 2017. Guess what? He'll be our hope in 2018. It's time for us to be passionate, excited, testifying without shame. Come on, Drew. Come on, Quan. Standing up and saying, man, I was lost, but now I'm found. I had dysfunction in my life, but now I'm not ashamed anymore because I found the one who can change me. It's Jesus Christ. He touched my life with this unusual kindness that I've never been the same. Have I been disappointed? Yes. Have I been discouraged in this journey of life? Yes. Have at times I've grown weary? Yes. But every time I look to the one who was unusually kind to me, I find inspiration. I find hope. I find peace. I find love. I find a reason to continue to press on for the very goal and prize for which I was created. That can only happen in Jesus Christ. Knowing who we are and knowing what it is that we're supposed to do. I've been talking this week. It just kind of started coming out of me as I was thinking about, you know, how to inspire the young kids in a way. Many of you know I helped serve at Lincoln High School as a strength coach. And so I daily give them a devotional thought about Christ in the scriptures. And so I was trying to think, how do I inspire them in a fresh way leading into the Christmas season? And so I began to talk about life's really about two things, well, maybe three things, in that it's about first understanding your task, your assignment, your purpose. That's why answering the question of origins and destiny is so important. It's the first worldview question you must answer is, where the heck did we come from? And why are we here? And man, understanding that is so important. Understanding your assignment. And then from there, life's about, when you understand it, doing what? Trying to be faithful to complete the assignment. To complete it. to get there and know that you've as we'll look here in just a second, that you finished faithfully, that you made it. And all of life is about the journey of getting there. And in that journey, facing what you've got to face and embracing that in the right way to become more Christ-like as you as an individual, and out of that, be a witness for him along the way. So you could say it this way, using theological terms. It's about justification. It's about getting right with God and receiving what Jesus did for you and his death, burial, and resurrection. And in that, now, understanding who you are, understanding your purpose, and understanding out of that who I'm to love and who I'm to serve. Yeah. Then the rest of the journey, sanctification. It's about the process where he sets you apart and begins to work in you with his Holy Spirit to make you more right, like him. In justification, the word is we're imputed righteousness. God gives us something we could never earn on our own. He gives us what we could never purchase. We can't do enough good deeds to earn it. That's what all other religions are. You're trying to do deeds to become righteous, to become more godlike. Christianity teaches you can't do that. He had to do it for you because you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So he imputes righteousness to you. Then out of that, the whole process is called sanctification, where now he's imparting every day more and more of his righteousness. So as you face life and as you face trials, that's why we rejoice in them, because persevering through them, you mature and you become more perfect and more Christ-like as you go through them the right way and you represent him. Unto what? Unto what? Here's the goal. And here's what we're looking all forward to. We are all winners in Jesus because we are going from strength to strength to what? Glorification. We are going to glory. Amen. We just can't quit. We can't shrink back. We can't lose heart. That's why I love Paul. He'd constantly write, don't shrink back. Don't give up in doing good. There's an eternal reward waiting for you. And when it was all said and done for him, he was looking up, not down, because he said, I'm looking forward to being face to face once again with my Lord and Savior. Last time he blinded me, but this time I'm going to see. And he's got some Christmas goodies and presents for me. He's got a reward because I've been faithful to finish. We're going on to glory. Look at this picture. Jesus started as a baby, and he ended as somewhere around a 33-year-old man. And what did he say at the end of his life? We know that he was the one sent in incarnation, as John wrote about. He's the Word of God who became flesh and blood, and he made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory. We've seen it. We've seen the glory. See, the thing about Jesus is he didn't have to start like we do in justification. And he didn't have to walk like we do the rest of our life being sanctified. He came in glory. Yeah. Huh? It was the wise men and the shepherds and all the stories. Everyone who saw him, Mary, his own mother on earth, pondering in her own mind, we've beheld the glory of God. It was the angels for all of eternity. Six wings, right? Flying, covering their feet, covering their face. Why were they covering their face? Because no one could look at the face of God. No one could do it and live. And the angels for all of eternity were like, is it worth a peek just to look and die? Is it worth? Is it worth? And then all of a sudden, in the fullness of time, they could stare in Christ to the face of God. They were rejoicing in his glory. That's a big deal, folks. I'm not just jumping to try to inspire you. I'm telling you, his glory wants to get in us. And see, that's the beauty of hearing testimony. And I don't want us to miss it, because you can become institutionalized in church and it can get old or stale to you. We've seen the glory of... Stand up, Quan. The glory. Do you see the glory of God? When we used to look at this man, I bet you'd see him and want to run in the other direction. Now we want to give this man a hug. Why? Because there's glory inside of him. Amen. That Jesus is working to come out. How about this? Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, I love that whole passage of scripture, as he's actually kind of preparing to pray it and leading up to some of his final sermons or teachings on why he was here, and out of that with his disciples, what they were supposed to do, he reminds them this. He says, I've brought you glory on earth. By what? By finishing the work you gave me to do. Think about your life. Think about how busy your world is today. How many tasks and assignments has God given you? Or just how life, not even how God's given you, erase that. How many tasks and assignments in life, your to-do list, or your notes app on the phone that you push and look at, how many go undone? Think about it. Tomorrow I'll get to that. Or if I could just change this, or if I just had more time, or more help, or more whatever else. And we get so used to living like that. We've kind of become a culture where our word isn't as our bond anymore, or our commitments can so quickly change like the wind, the shifting shadows, because we're so unorganized in what our true priorities should be. We just allow the world to dictate how we should manage our time, and we all run around frantic and less productive than God has destined us to be. Now, everything I just said the last minute was from the Holy Spirit, because I didn't prepare that at all, and that sounded really good. Amen. And God's trying to speak to us in December so we don't make in January of a new year the same mistakes we made all this year, and living with a lot of regrets because we're unorganized and focused on the wrong priorities. And making minimal impact for how God wants us to live. And two, living very frustrated, irritable, and tired because we haven't allowed him to really be the Lord and leader of our life. He says, that's not how I want you to live. Okay, so that was totally, that was way beyond Pastor Ron, all right? That was from Jesus himself. And so as we think about entering into this last month of the year, as we prepare to celebrate the coming of Christ, and as we hopefully examine our lives to evaluate how 2017 went and look and begin to dream and hope about 2018, it's important that we remember that God has saved us for his glory and for his purpose, and for his work. And when you stand with him face to face, you don't want to have the excuse or try to give the excuse like we're so accustomed to living today that I was too busy. There's a parable about that, right? In the parable, the sower about that, I was too distracted. I was too unfocused. I had all these other things to do. No. It's knowing what to say yes to, knowing what to say no to, so that when it's all said and done, Lord, I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. It's all about times and seasons. See, it was a simple moment, but it was a moment of glory because Sabrina had been faithful in her assignment. And it was now complete in time to transition into a new one. It was a moment of glory. She brought Jesus glory. That's why you stood up. That's why you clapped. Because she was worthy of that honor. It just wasn't kind of a ritual. Let's just do a nice thing. It was, Sabrina, when we see you, when we see the cool hairdo, I don't know how you do that. I envy that. Believe it or not, this hair, I blow dry this hair for about 5 minutes. This is about as cool as I can look. The glasses, the everything, when we get past all that, Sabrina, when we look at you, we see Jesus. It used to be Tuesdays, now our staff meeting's on Thursday. Every time I sit down on staff meeting on Thursday, and Sabrina's usually to my left on the couch, I look over, and in this Haitian woman, I see Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm not a morning person. I kind of come in, you know, morning groggy a little bit. And I always leave inspired and encouraged and fired up to tackle the week and the things that are ahead of me, because I encountered Jesus.
Yes.
See, that's us, right? Do you know, celebrations are weird for me because I just believe that every day somewhat should be a celebration. You know, and I appreciate them. I appreciate taking time out, and I've learned to appreciate it more as I've gotten older. You know, Christmas is a weird time because for me, because I'm just like, man, every day should be Christmas.
Amen.
Every day should be a celebration that he's here. God is here. In all the chaos and all the confusion, he's here. And he saved me from my sins. And if I'll seek him, and if I'll seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, if I draw close to him, he'll draw close to me. He'll speak to me. He'll be my friend. And he'll remind me every day in this challenge of life why I'm here, what I'm supposed to do. Christmas story reminds me of it. There's a video that always touches my heart, and I think we'll show it again this Christmas. And it from above shows Mary. In birth pains and breathing. She looks over and goes, Joseph, he's here. He's here. He's here. What a privilege we have that this Jesus, who Emmanuel, come on, Quan, he's here. He found you when you were lost. Drew, when you had no hope, man, he was here for you. Man, that's powerful. Unusual kindness displayed to us. So that now we can do what? Display it to the world. Man, we're imperfect people who've been recipients of a perfect invasion and impartation of Jesus. And as I gather with you, my brothers and sisters, this morning, as we light the candle, as we take communion, as we honor Sabrina, I'm reminded, press on, church family. Press on. Press on for the goal, which is Christ in his glory. It's living to testify of him. Press on, church family. Receive his unusual kindness and display his unusual kindness to the world. Isn't that what Christmas is about?
Amen.
Isn't it why we give? Because we remind ourselves that God gave us something we so didn't deserve, his one and only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have life eternal. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus today. He is the one we honor. He is the one we celebrate. He is the one that we glorify. We thank you for his unusual kindness displayed to us. Lord, we remember that. Lord, as we gather this morning, it's not in just tradition or ritual, but Lord, it's in a name. That name, Jesus, has brought us here. It's the name that's above all names. It's the name that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It is the name Emmanuel. God is with us, and it is in that name, Jesus, that you have saved us from our sins. And so we thank you for that this morning. And we honor you and celebrate you. And just in this attitude of prayer this morning, you know, we've heard testimonies. And the word of God's testimony in Revelation tells us it's so powerful. It's one of the things that defeats the devil. The word of our testimony defeats devil's plans and schemes and the sin in our life, testifying what Jesus has done in us. And so I just want to give you an opportunity as we enter this last, or as we are in this last month of the year, the Christmas season. You've heard the cliche, he is the reason for the season. Do you need forgiveness for your sins? If so, would you raise your hands? Have you ever really received God's forgiveness for your sins? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to ask you to do something just really bold. Would you come stand with me just for a second and let me pray with you? This is an evangelistic moment is the best way I can describe it, meaning God's really going after you right now. Because everything I just said is for you to be a world changer. Come stand with me real quick. I just want to pray with you in this moment, if you would. Just want to pray with you in this attitude of prayer. Everybody just kind of keep your head down and come stand with me. There you go. God bless you. You're not coming to me. You're coming to Jesus. We just want to seal this. Can we get a couple ladies just to come up here and pray? Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you, Cindy Westmark. Anybody else? You know what's really on my heart, too, is, men, it's time for us to respond. Amen. You know, why are the women always responding? Man, it's time for us to respond. Yeah, I'm speaking to you addicted in pornography. I'm speaking to you who, you know, are living so below being the kind of servant leader that God wants you to be. It's time for you to respond to Jesus. You'll never break the cycle of mediocrity or living below what God has for you until you humble yourself. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you.
Yes.
I'm being bold this morning because the Holy Spirit's being bold. Teen Challenge doesn't come here. I mean, their ultimate mission isn't to get support. Their ultimate mission is to tell the world about how Christ has changed their life. That's for us. Message isn't for somebody else. That message was for me this morning.
Yes.
That got me fired up.
Yes.
To repent of my sins and serve Jesus. Anybody else? Any other man needing to say, Jesus, I want to get real with you this morning. Stop faking it. That's what religion is. Religion's faking it.
Yeah.
Jesus says, no, I want a relationship. I want to get real with you. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives, all that you are doing in these lives. God, we thank you for the testimony of Jesus. We thank you for the hope, love, and peace that is found in the Christmas season only because Christ is in it. And so, Lord, that's what we celebrate and that's what we praise. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What we're going to do to conclude the service, can we give just the Lord a hand clap this morning for how awesome he is? Chris, if you want to come up, come on up. What we're going to do to conclude our service, as Pastor Charles mentioned, is we're going to take up an offering for Teen Challenge. What a great way in the season of giving to have to begin as a service, to give up an offering, to give to just a great ministry, Teen Challenge. Aren't you thankful to that we have ministries? And you know.